Welcome to VML, Bird Watching at the Lurie's. My name is Danette. I'm co-editor of Media and Marketing at Biz Community. I am here with Catherine Madley, who is from Pick n Pay, the Chief Marketing Officer. Quite a new position for you, but you're also a regular visitor to Lurie's and a big supporter of the advertising industry. Catherine, tell us, what are your expectations of Lurie's this year?
So I'm really proud to be here again, and I never take it for granted that the team invites me. It really is a massive honor, and it's lovely to see some young people here as well, which I'm really excited about. And you know, Danette, my cup just gets so filled when I'm around our tribe. You know, the marketing people and the advertising and communications industry at large. I was honored enough to judge radio this year, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It is a category that South Africans are typically very, very, very strong in. Unfortunately, the standard and the level is not as high as it used to be.
Okay.
And we as a collective team need to raise that up and bring it up. It is not the fault of the ad industry, and it is also not the fault of the clients. It's the fault of the collective. So the onus on the client now is to explain the effect of creativity, and that is my life's work.
Yes.
So I've been doing that for more than 20 years, and anybody that knows me knows that the religion of marketing that I'm from is the Mark Ritson and the Byneton field and the effectiveness and understanding that creativity drives 47% of sales. So I evangelize that in boards, in the businesses that I work in, and in Pick n Pay now as well. So we're really excited that we've just gone through a process of employing a new agency, which is Halo, your Dean and his team, and then
Second.
Mark and Second Rodeo.
Yes.
So they started with us with immediate effect when they won the business. So we're really excited with that. And I'm not sure if you know, Danette, but also James Barty and Alistair King are also fractional executives at Pick n Pay now.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
Yes. So they are involved and they support our agency and they support Pick n Pay. So it is such a beautiful bridge that they create in between. And,
yes,
you know, James is highly effective in the operational marketing of Pick n Pay on a fractional basis,
yes,
as a fractional executive. And Alistair is, you know, the tip of the spear of our creative effort.
Wow, that's just amazing.
Yes. Yeah,
that's
so we're
such a
really
strong
excited.
Team.
Such a strong team.
Yeah.
So, you know, blessed beyond measure to have them. And, you know, we've got some new people joining Pick n Pay. And, of course, the Pick n Pay marketers, the leaders that I have in my team are extraordinary. So the team's just really getting marketing fit and focused. So we're excited.
So you've always taken on really great agencies and created really great work in the retail environment, which is really quite a difficult environment to work in these days. I mean, there's a lot of pressure and the consumers are very demanding. How do you go about selecting an agency?
So we went through a process where we identified, number one, agencies that know how to do retail work.
Okay.
Because retail work is quite bespoke and it's very pure marketing. So the work that I do does not only concentrate on advertising. In fact, I would say that's about less than 10% of the work that I do. We concentrate a lot on product and a lot on price. And I'm not talking about product and price in a leaflet sense of the word, although that is important, but concentrating on product. So we have like three layers of strategy. The base layer is the brand.
Okay.
Then there's the customer events, and then there's the product marketing. So the agency choice has to understand product and price and promotion and the distribution into the omnichannel. In other words, they have to be pure marketers.
Yeah.
They can't only be sitting in the corner of promotion and, you know, in a further corner of advertising, which is really, you know, a tenth of what we as marketers learn and understand. So the agency have to be schooled in retail, and they also have to be schooled in understanding the offense and the defense of the strategies that are right. So we started with six agencies that have that understanding.
Okay.
So that was in play. Two of them were incumbents, very good agencies. And then we went through a process of scoring, you know, through a team. And then it went down to three that did, a paid pitch.
Okay.
And it was very tough and emotionally tough as well, because there were six agencies that I really admire And Halo and Second Rodeo, you know, they got it. And, you know, all credit to them. They did an absolutely extraordinary job. You know, they visited 37 shops.
Really?
Yeah. During that process.
I don't know why I say really. I'm not surprised, actually. Yeah. That's typical of Dean.
It's typical of Dean and Mike as well.
Yes.
So it's an absolute joy.
So what I wanted to ask you, the retail industry, in terms of all the channels.
Yes.
It's become so complex.
Yes.
And there's so many different channels. How do you work with that? I mean, I look at it and it just blows my mind. It's so complicated, it seems.
It is a complexity because more and more channels keep getting added to the mix. So as it stands now, we are on 22 platforms a week.
Wow.
In Pick and Pay. And so are our competitors. You know, and there's six major competitors in grocery retail in this country. And we compete fiercely, as we should, for the benefit of the consumer that we're fighting for low prices for every single day. And the trick there is to understand how to do effective media mixing to create reach and not to get distracted by, you know, bright and shiny things.
Yes.
And it's also to understand the audiences. However, there is a bit of a delusion about concentrating on performance marketing and the base funnel, because it's not only about reach, it's about engagement. So it's vitally important to work out which platform is more engaging than other,
okay.
You know, and working out two sets of calculations to make sure that mix is effective. So that's really, really important. But media mixing is fundamental, especially if you consider the great amount of spend that retail, you know, combined spends in South Africa.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about effective creativity, because I know it's your thing, and what it means to you and why you are always hammering away at it, why it's so important.
So I think the job of the CMO is to explain coherently and effectively to the non-marketer why it is important to invest in brand and creative work. And we've seen research and evidence now for 14 years. So this really shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. The long and the short of it, written by Barnett and Field, came out 14 years ago. The IPA has done numerous amounts of work on this. Mark Ritson has written about this with a bank of evidence. You know, a Byron Sharp has written about it. So for decades before, in the Mad Men era, people battled to explain why they should invest in highly effective creativity, but that's gone now. So there's really no excuse of why we shouldn't be doing it, which leads me to say that the effectiveness, the creative bar should have gone up and up and up, but it hasn't. It's gone down and down and down. And the reason is because creative people are swimming around Google looking for ideas, when they should be relying on their own God-given imaginations,
yes,
and their five senses to get inspiration. That's the reality, so which disappoints me. And they should be reading books more, you know, and diving into things like that instead of getting short snippets of things doom-scrolling. So that has created a lapse in people's attention and a lapse in people's creative effectiveness. Equally, on the client side of the business, we kind of get worried that we're missing a trick in AI, or we're missing a trick in, you know, a new media, or we're missing something. So we kind of chase around that instead of chasing an idea. The bottom line is both clients and agencies need to start chasing ideas, like their lives depend on it, because they do. And really, really great ideas affect 47% of sales. 47%. So why should we be chasing anything else? And I'm not saying that I'm the best at this, because I've also put a lot of work into the market that wasn't good enough. You know, because sometimes something is better than nothing. You know, when you're working at the speed as which retail does work. But it is my ambition, and certainly Dean and Al's ambition, to change that. And it's not just the three of us, it's absolutely driven by James in our business as well, and my leaders as a whole. And as soon as the rest of the non-marketing population in business understands that effectiveness, they back it.
Yes.
So, you know, hopefully we can do something extraordinary, you know, for the environment as a whole. And I'm always eager to help other marketers understand the detail and the mathematics behind effectiveness, which is my life's work.
And then lastly, I know that you also talk a lot about the relationship with your agency, the relationship between client and agency, and how that needs to be a relationship of trust if that kind of brave work is going to come out. So, and you've had great relationships with the agencies you've used in the past. We know that. And you've even given talks with the Odd Number about your partnership and your relationship, and great work has come out of that. So why is that so important? And what is happening with that agency-client relationship in general?
Well, I've loved my relationships with my agencies. As you know, King James, many years. The Odd Number, many years. Ogilvy, and many of the other greats, yeah. You know, and even smaller agencies that do impact pieces of work, Retroviral, and Sylvester Chalky, and his agency, and those wondrous people that I've had an amazing time with. You know, I look at Kula and Spoo and see how they've grown and thrived, and it's just a joy. It's an absolute joy, and they're on doing other great things, and they've grown me, and hopefully I've made an impact in growing them. And that's the rise that you wanna have as a partnership. I've known Dean and Warren for many years as well, it just so happened that the time came. And by the way, Joe Public were a great agency of mine,
yes. And
Alexander Forbes as well. So I have a wonderful relationship with them. Also happy that there isn't burnt bridges, Danette, which
yes.
is really deeply important for me. I get quite anxious and hurt if there is, you know, burnt bridges and things like that, because I'm trying to grow the industry as a whole. I'm very fervent about that. But Matthew Bull was saying something to me this morning. He said to me, "So who's your new lover?" And I just started laughing because I knew immediately that his metaphor was relating to the CMO and the creative person. I said, I guess Dean is my new lover, you know, my new marketing lover. But in, you know, the true sense of how that relationship needs to be, somebody that you fight with, but you also win with, you know, in the good times and the bad times, and both have the same goal in just producing the best work possible for the customer. It really is for the customer, for the South African customer, that deserves to see effective work. And I know that Dean and his team, you know, are of the same religion as us when it comes to that, which is exciting.
It is. I guess he's your advertising husband and you're his advertising wife. Catherine, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for always caring about the industry and putting in so much effort.
It's an absolute pleasure. I really think it's a joy and an honor and a privilege. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.